Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangas, Instagram Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok Hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I am joined in mourning after our heartbreaking loss yesterday to the Adelaide Crows by Claire Cozzie once again. Obviously a really disappointing finish to the game, but I'm actually optimistic and I thought there was a lot to like. I think Claire was a little bit disappointed, but even she sees the positives in all of that. So I think we will bounce back and beat them in a couple of weeks' time. I'm very optimistic, and there's lots to like. So let's not waste any more of a valuable time and get right into the episode with Claire Cozzie.
Claire Cozzie, welcome back to the show. Now, we are in a bit of a mourning today after pretty much losing the unlosable yesterday afternoon. How are you feeling today? You know, what is it, about 28 hours post the game?
Look, it's been really lucky that the Matildas won 8-0. And a really nice loss to England overnight in the World Cup. And then being in the bottom of the World Cup table has been somewhat of a soothing balm to my pretty sad state of despair after watching the game. I just, like I said to you, it was the inevitability of it all. I just knew within the last 3 minutes, and especially in that last 2 minutes and that collapse stoppages and those scrums that were happening in Adelaide's forward half, I'm like, something's going to happen here. You just know that something's going to happen. It's going to lead to an Adelaide goal, and then there'll be no time for North to peg one back. So, a lot of great things to like about North. Darren Crocker after the match said, look, we've won a lot of the key stats. We won the inside 50s. I think the contested possessions and marks around the ground, which is good to see. It's just that, I guess, from our perspective as fans, as supporters, is that you have to kind of arrest with the feeling that you have not been able to pinch a win against a top 14. I don't know when the last time we did win against the top 14. Definitely wasn't last season, so I'd have to get the calendar back out to see how far it goes back. So yeah, I was incredibly proud with the effort. I really loved the high pressure and the tackling and the intent. But yeah, fairly disappointing results. How did you see the game, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do a Piers Morgan and say it was a moral victory. outside of a loss, there's a lot to like. It was a game of what ifs. And, you know, if Shiel or Randall kick a goal in the last, or we don't concede 250-metre penalties, yeah, we probably win. But the process was what I liked. I mean, inside 50, 37-21. And Mark's inside 50, 13-1. Forward half pressure was pretty good as well for the majority of the game. And if we play like this against them in 2 weeks' time, we'll beat them. And we'll beat them by two or three goals. They're not going to get this lucky. I mean, Marinoff and Hattard still had good games, but they weren't influential, I thought. No. And just messaging a few of the girls last night, and they're hurting, which is good. And if they use that hurt in the right way, then we can use it to our advantage. Lots of positive lessons, Claire, I believe.
Yeah, definitely positive lessons. You're right. I think they did a really good job in not necessarily shutting down Marinoff or Hatchard or Munyard and players like that and Chelsea Randall, but they definitely, I think, our midfield were on top in terms of Garner with 27 and two goals and Riddell having another great game. Mia King, I think, had a fantastic game as well. Yeah. So even like they were able to, I feel so awful for someone like Jazz Ferguson because that 50-metre penalty, which ended up being, mind you, the longest 50-minute penalty you've ever seen. I know I'm biased. Like I'm aware that when I watch games, I definitely have a bias. But I just thought, you've taken her to the airport. Is she catching a flight? Where is she going? What's happening? Why is it? Look, I thought at minimum, she was taking 65 meters. Like it just, it was, and I felt so sorry for Jazz Ferguson. She hadn't literally put a foot wrong all day. She'd done such a good job. And it gave me, you know, gave me flashbacks of Sarah Wright in the pocket against Adelaide. It was just a small mistake. I think she didn't throw the ball back properly and it ended up being a penalty. And then same with Jazz Ferguson. She, you know, the umpire goes to play on, she steps off and then bang, a 70-meter penalty to let them back into the game. So, you know, it's a margin of errors and what ifs and things like that. But I definitely think there were some circumstances in which Adelaide were let off. And I think that, like you said, if we get another chance at them in a couple of weeks' time, I think North will do a lot of work to kind of rectify those sorts of things. So, yeah, let's hope we get another chance. That's the fingers crossed, I guess, from our perspective now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll finish third as long as we beat the Bulldogs this weekend, this Saturday, which we shouldn't be too hard work, I wouldn't think. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you talk about the Jazz Ferguson 50-meter penalty. There was a lot of incidents. I mean, I think the game was summed up right at the end where the ball was going to either Randall or Taylor Gatt and they left it for each other. You know, either one of them could have marked it. And it's just sort of summed up the game, really. It's just not meant to be. And then right at the end, Randall gets a knock to the head. You know, it was too high. Yeah. But to be honest with you, even if she got the free kick, I don't think she would have kicked it because it was just one of those games. No, it was just one of those games. So, we're never going to win.
I know what you mean. When things manifest against you, there's no telling what the universe serves up to you. No, I agree, because there was a couple of chances. In the third quarter, Gavalis could have had a set shot on goal and she went to... It was probably just out of her distance. I have to admit, it was probably just out and she was a bit concerned. If she puts it to the top of the square, they rush it through. Adelaide might get the opportunity to score. But I thought she's gone to Shelaw. Shelaw's missed it. And it's just, that was a real opportunity to just sew up maybe 45 seconds, absorb and get one more scoring opportunity before heading into quarter time, three quarter time that is. And then Shelaw and Randall having both set shots on goal in that last quarter and not being able to ice it, it just... it hurts. It comes back to bite you, unfortunately. And like I said, a credit to Adelaide. They're a good outfit. I still think they're the hardest away team to play in the comp. So, they're finishers. They obviously have won three premierships for a reason. They've got a real solid base there at the club and they know how to finish games, which is something that perhaps is our greatest weakness at the moment. So hopefully we go to the drawing board. I'm not sure, I guess, many change. What do you think, I guess? Well, you're the host. I don't know why I'm asking you questions. But I guess for changes and strategies, and with all due respect to the Western Bulldogs, who had a wonderful win on the weekend against Eagles, and I think it's great that they got a win. I think it's good for team morale and for the club. But, you would say you'd probably pen this in as a win. But do you try different things now? You try different strategies. Do you bring back players to help find form? What do you do with Emma King? There's just so many questions that I have asked, but you're the host. So if you want to go back to the actual Adelaide game, then I apologise. I'm just going to hate it myself.
No, that's fine. I mean, we've got Bresnahan coming back for finals by the looks of it, which is going to be a strange, interesting one because she's apparently going to be out for another week. I guess the question is, do we rush her straight back in?
What, for the Western Bulldogs game?
She won't be available for the Bulldogs.
No, she's not available. Okay.
Which will be the Crows by looks of it.
Yeah, I would risk her. I think she's too important to not risk. We spoke about this, and again, with all due respect, I'm not sure Emma King is in the best form of her life at the moment. I know that a game against Western Bulldogs would be great for her confidence. I know that, maybe getting a bit of hands on the leather or going forward and kicking a bag would be great for her. But I just felt that one of the biggest things I noticed when we play teams like Melbourne and Adelaide is that they burn us and they torch us with using our height against us at times. And I don't know whether Rennie/King are bringing enough to the table to like to have both of them in the team, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, it's I guess with 16 players on the field as well, you've got you know, those two, Shearlaw and Randall. So you've got four talls. So that's 20, you know, it's what's that, 25% of your team or something like that. So, yeah, just doing quick maths. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, when the ball hits the ground, yeah, she struggles and she's taken only one mark. So her form is a talking point, but I don't think she's going to get dropped. Get on.
I don't think she'll get dropped against Western Bulldogs. I guess my question would be, coming into the Adelaide game, if you need to make changes and you know that you lost the game and you need to address some of the key areas, I think Bresnahan, in terms of run and carry and what she can offer in terms of transition, and you could push Tesh Craven, or you could just, I think that shuffle. You can shuffle the board around, you can play with the magnets a little bit more, you could put, if you wanted to, you could put Carney for a stint to the midfield if you really wanted to, because you can have Bresnahan with the run and carry and be the connector down back. I just think that Brej offers more versatility, whereas King, you know, we have three duplicates of King. Like, we have, you know, we have Randall, we have Shearlaw, and we have Rennie. And at the moment, it's, you know, it's hard, because if we do win, and, like, you know, on Sunday, maybe we don't have this discussion and King keeps their spot, but I think Crocker does need to address how pace and that kind of how our tools can get burnt and where the deficit model is. Like, are we paying too much rent by having that many tools? And if so, what adjustments need to be made? So I think King gets a walk-up start to the Western Bulldogs game. Plays that game, but if I were Crocker, I'd seriously consider dropping her for the Adelaide game.
No, that's understandable. I mean, her confidence is shot at the moment. I mean, you've seen that chip pass I think Mia King did to her, and she didn't want to take two steps back to take the mark.
No!
Yeah, no. Almost playing like a Corey McKernan in 2000, where his confidence was just shot, and I don't know what her mental state is at the moment. It's probably affecting her, to be honest with you. But sometimes all it takes is a big mark and goal to get it all back. I mean, I remember a coach telling me years ago when I played cricket that, remember the times when you were in form and what you did and how you felt. I think she just needs to go back to the games when she did play well and what she did. I don't think it would be that much different to now, but she just isn't plucking marks right now. She had an opportunity the last quarter, right at the end, I think it was, to get a mark, and she dropped another one. I mean, which she was taking, you know, at the start of the year. So it would be a big call to, you know, take her out of the team. And I don't think she'll come out no matter what. I think, I think if they're going to drop someone, and if it's going to be a tall, it'd probably be Kim Rennie. But I think they just go in with all tours, because, I mean, like I sort of said at the start of the show, the process was quite good for the game. I think we did a lot of things right. But we just didn't ice the game when it mattered. And, you know, I mean, you're not going to lose many games if you get 37 inside 50s to 21 and 13 marks inside 50 to 1 as well. So, yeah.
My counter question to that is, and I agree with you, the structures and the strategies, how it was just the last 90 seconds, but, you know, insanity is the definition of doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different result. And I guess as North supporters, like, we've played the top three, we haven't got the results. You know, does Crocker, myself personally, I speak for myself and some of the supporters are begging for some sort of change and begging for some sort of, I guess, difference in which we can take and potentially try something new against these teams. So what would you do, I guess, if you're Crocker and you're going into a prelim final against Adelaide in 2 weeks' time and say, okay, well, we lost it in the last 90 seconds. Do you make any changes, knowing that you've got Brej in your back pocket? You know, not cherry ripe, but definitely fit, has been past all her medical thingos. What would you do in this situation?
Look, I mean, for the first final against Adelaide, I'll I'd stick to what we are now. Obviously, you bring Bresnahan in. I'm not too sure what goes out because we've pretty much got a full bill of health. So whether that's a, you know, a Tess Craven or something like that, just like a like-for-like swap where you get Bresnahan in. She probably plays 50% time on ground. I mean, Tess Craven, I'm not too sure what her time on ground is at the moment. I mean, she played, you know, she hasn't done anything wrong, Tess, or anything like that. She's actually been quite handy in the back half. But, as you know, I mean, it's just, sometimes it's about the players you have available rather than the players that you don't have available. And at the moment, we've got a lot to pick from. But, yeah, if things go awry in that first final and, you know, we're struggling with the tools, then the second final, all right, we're going to make a change here and we're going to try something a little different. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't lose by three or four goals. We lost by, in the last kick of the game, basically. So I think we'll beat them in 2 weeks' time. I'm confident of that. So.
I mean, I just wish I had your confidence. I still think there's something ticking away at that team. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. Is it the confidence thing? Is it – I thought about Tess Craven's game. I thought about Amy Smith. I thought about Gat Craven, said her already. I thought about maybe the kids and Aliso Lachlan and Bella Eddy. I thought Bella Eddy did some really great things, to be fair. But I thought about that lower maybe echelon of players that we need to step up. And this is probably a fairly harsh criticism on them, but – I'm not sure we're getting as much as we could out of them and those types of players against the big clubs like Brisbane and like Melbourne and like Adelaide on the weekend. They maybe don't bring, they're not as noticeable, or they don't bring the same sort of pressure, or they can't absorb the pressure. So then a lot of responsibility goes into the hands of Carney, of Garner, of Riddell, of Bruton, you know. Again, it's hard to put a finger on all these things, but every time that we lose against these top three teams, I just feel like that damn wall just keeps on climbing a little bit bigger. And, yeah, I want to say confidently that, don't get me wrong, the processes, the structures, the strategies in place to beat Adelaide were all there. I just don't know what it is that allowed us to bottle it in that last 90 seconds.
Just our record against those other three teams is 2-14. So, whereas we've won, it was something ridiculous like 44 out of 48 against the rest of the competition. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a, you know, hurdle we've got, but, you know, we've got to get over, but there's no time to break that, in a couple weeks' time, I guess. So, we'll see how we go. Ideally, you know, we want to get through that first final and get a week off, and, you know, we'll certainly be fully fit for the prelim. And you play either a Brisbane or a pretty average team probably in a prelim. But, obviously we'll get to that when we have to. What do you make of Darren Crocker right now? He's coming for a lot of criticism online, which I don't agree with. The prices and game plan was spot on for most of the game, and he can't go out there and stop that last goal. That's up to the players out there. Should he be, you know, under, you know, a little, you know, under the microscope, or are you sort of happy with him more?
I have a couple of things. I think it's good that an AFLW coach, you know, for the progression of the game. I think it's good that fans and supporter bases are questioning things, because then it mirrors more of the men's, which I think then it becomes more of an authentic competition because you have key stakeholders investing in the sport. So don't get me wrong, I really like the passion from supporters. I do disagree with their statements. I'm a big fan of Darren Crocker. I think he is really good with the playing group. I think he's incredibly invested in the program. I think there's a lot of AFLW coaches that are there as sort of a stepping stone into the men's, or they're getting their experience up or things like that. I think it's very evident to see that Crocker is really committed and invested in the North Melbourne AFLW team. I think he's, like I said, he's got a really great relationship with the players. I think he cares about them deeply. I think they know that. It's funny talking to men about AFLW, because, you know, if a coach, you know, if that happens, 90 seconds of the clock and you bottle it, maybe the coach in a men's team says, all right, bring your mouth guards to training, you know, we're doing some hard work. But I think with women, and Crocker knows that, it's no one feels as worse than Ash Riddell. No one feels worse than Jazz Garner or Emma Carney about what happened those last 90 seconds. Like, 100% that playing group will be feeling the hurt and the pain, and he doesn't need to go in and twist the knife. And I know that when they did the match review and when he sits down with those players and goes through the feedback and evaluation, you know, it will be mostly positive, because we know that these women respond well to positive feedback and, you know, dangle a carrot in front of them. So I think he's got a really strong connection with the playing group. I think he's got a really good modern leadership style in terms of his coaching. And I think he did what he had to do in the off season to address the needs of the playing group. I think, you know, securing Sheilor and making sure she was part of the club, getting her across, and also developing players like Gat, like Craven, Amy Smith. It's clear to see that, you know, he's quite a successful coach. It's just unfortunate that he doesn't have the wins against those top, I guess, opposition. But I really like him. I think he's a really positive bloke and really genuine about how he goes about it. And I think that's really well respected within the playing group and within, I guess, all the other coaches and staff that he works with. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. He's got great relationships with the girls, and that's pretty much three quarters of the battle. Yeah, I mean, you can obviously, you know, it's fair enough to criticise him last week against Melbourne, because we kind of kept doing the same thing over and over again without changing it. We talked about the Melbourne game last week where he wasn't using the width of the ground and so forth. And I thought, well, we're just, you know, playing in the hands a bit and we just didn't adjust. And, yeah, maybe that can be the players and that could be him as well. So that was understandable. And sometimes you just get outcoached like that. And, you know, I mean, the greatest coaches in the world have got outcoached by other coaches tactically. Sometimes it just happens. Yeah, look, I don't think, you know, that would be the right call. I guess, let me ask you this, Claire. If we made the prelim and lost to Melbourne again, should we be considering someone else for the job?
No. I don't think it's, if we were to lose a prelim to Melbourne again, it's not because of the coach. It's not the coach's box. It'll probably be in the heads of the players, and then it might need to be addressed by the coaches to help them assist through that. But no, I don't believe, apart from the game style against Melbourne, I don't have any criticism of Crocker. Even the game against Brisbane, it was more or less won and lost in the clearances and the stoppages, and Brisbane just threw the kitchen sink, and they just went really offensive, and there wasn't much that Crocker could do. So I think, yeah, like I said, I think he's a great coach. I think he has a really great list, and he knows how to get, like, look at Jasmine Garner. He know, and Ash Riddell and Mia King and Randall and Sheilor and Jazz Ferguson and Sarah Wright. Like, he gets the best out of his players. There's no doubt. And I genuinely believe this when I say this. I do not think Jasmine Garner would be the player that she is today without the support and leadership of Darren Crocker. I think he, you know, has so much trust in her, so much respect, and that's why we get to see her best football at the club, because of how he has built a really great relationship with her and a community in how the club has, I guess, wrapped their arms around her family and her, around everyone. You know, it's just such a community-minded club, and I think that's driven by the coach. So, nah, irrespective, if they lost a prelim tomorrow by 1 point against Melbourne, which is literally my worst nightmare, I wouldn't do anything to Crocker. He gets to stay. I'd sign him up for as long as possible if I was North Melbourne, just quietly. But, pretty passionate Crocker fan over here.
Yeah, no, and that's fair enough. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. Look, I think he gets, you know, 99% of things right generally, and sometimes, you know, like, you just get things wrong, like the Melbourne game. I don't even think we would have won even if he adjusted things. Like, we probably still would have lost by a couple of goals or something like that. We just they just turned the heat up on us, and it's up to the players sometimes to adjust out there too. And yeah, they sort of struggled. So, and there is, you know, times where we still attack that corridor just a little bit too much. Like, I think even yesterday, I think I seen Jasmine Ferguson kick a ball to Garner, who had about four players on her, but luckily it was forced straight to Jenna Bruton, who got the ball forward. So, yeah, sometimes we just go a bit too attacking through the corridor. But, I thought yesterday was a lot better. We seemed to control the ball a lot more. We had more possessions than Adelaide. So, it's certainly not, panic time and start sacking coaches and talking about sacking coaches because I don't think we'd find anyone better than him to be with you. So,
I heard a lot of chat around Scotty Gowans, and I've worked with Scott personally, and he's a great guy, but brings completely different game style, and I don't know whether Gowans would have suited the modern way in which North Melbourne plays. When people are doing comparisons of what Scott Gowans has been able to do at Sydney and what he's achieved with North Melbourne, I just think that, I'm really glad with the appointment of Crocker. I think he's a great coach, and I'm really happy with, his time at North Melbourne, and hopefully he stays on as long as possible in my eyes.
No, definitely. It was good to see Ali Gavalis find a bit of form as well, 11 touches and a goal, and Nima Martin as well, also 9 touches. And I thought she played a role quite well and probably showed why they kept faith with her, because she does have a bit of pace and a bit of grunt. So, I think there's a lot to like there. So it was pleasing to see those two girls play well in particular and contribute, I think, Claire.
Yeah, it was really great to see Gav get that first goal, albeit a very interesting type of first goal. It kind of shanked it off her boot. It was colourful, to say the least, but good for her, good form. It was her first goal of the season, we know she got admitted not because of injury but because of form, so I think that was really important that she got that on the board early. I think Gav is one of our more interesting players in terms of what she can offer. She was kind of pushed out of that midfield. She used to play mid until we became star-studded.
That's right.
You got to be basically in the top 5 midfielders of the league if you want to get a run in our centre stoppages. So, I think she provided some really good energy down there. My only criticism is maybe backing herself in to go the long kick and put it to the square or try to get a scoring opportunity. And Neve Kelly's interesting. Not Neve Kelly. That's the person that kicked the goal against us.
Yeah, that's from Adelaide.
I've got flashbacks already. Martin was really good in patches. I can see why they've stuck with her over Tripodi. She just, I don't know, I think she's got a little bit more pace, a little bit more, a bit of fire in the engine. She tackles well. She presents well. So it's good to see them. I think overall I would have liked to have seen a little more from the small forwards. I was having this kind of discussion on Twitter. It seems that our small forwards don't necessarily set up around the ball when the forward ball goes in. They don't necessarily are in the right places at times to sort of pounce on or crumb a scoring opportunity. It seems like there's more focus on casting a bit of a net and casting kind of a 50-metre arc and trying to trap the ball in as opposed to and get multiple opportunities to score by hitting a tall as opposed to, going for the smalls. And Aliso Lachlan, she tried to do a bit too much and tried to do a sidestep and she got absolutely hammered. But, I think we've got a lot of potential. There's a bit of like a massive ceiling on our small forwards and it'd be nice to see them present a little bit more in bigger games like that. Because if Randall and Sheila aren't firing and they can't get those big goals, then it does, a lot of our pressure does fall to those small forwards. So, I think Bella Eddy had some good moments as well. Sold a bit of candy on the wing. Did some great stuff. But, it'll be good to see, a bit of confidence for the small forwards against the Dogs, I think. All due respect, I think that they're right for the picking. And I think if some players want to find some form, this is the right week to do it, I guess.
No, definitely. I think Bella Eddy's going to be one of the stars of the comp. She just, I don't know, every time I see her, I just see a bit of Toby Green. Just flashes, like something special. Like she's just inside 50. If she's got space, she'll kick a goal. Like she's very classy forward. So, and she's only 21, already in the leadership group. I think she's going to be a big player in the competition in a couple of years' time. I guess what are you hoping for against the Bulldogs this Saturday afternoon at Witten Oval, 1:05 p.m. on a Saturday?
What am I hoping for? Number one would be confidence for Emma King. I feel he could go back and you know, get some touches, maybe kick a bag or so, get her confidence right up. I think that would be really good. I'm tempted. I'm not sure. I feel like very Brad Scott 2015 or 2016 era when he rested a whole bunch of players before the finals. I'm not sure you flirt with form, but I reckon I'd be cutting back on some key stars. I'd be trialing some stuff. I definitely, if I was Crocker, I think this is the time to, if you're ever going to experiment and try some different types of structures or strategies, I think this is the game to do it. I wouldn't mind, like I said, having maybe Garner, Ashra Dowell's game time maybe a little bit less than usual. I don't know. I know it's risky, but it's more risky to flirt with injury. I think I'd like to see a lot of scoring opportunities. I'd like to see the small forwards get a fair chunk of the ball and be able to create from the chaos situations of the forward 50 entries. I'd like some form for Emma King and Sheilor and Randall to kind of kick a ball, got a bag between them. And then I guess from the defensive unit, I know Jazz and Sarah, again, the number one defensive unit all year. And then, you know, that happens in the last 90 seconds. And I really feel for them. So it'd be nice to see them have a fairly clean scorecard for them to head into finals with the knowledge and understand that they are probably that back group are probably the best defensive group in the league. So I don't have an actual score. I think I long gave up that idea because I was going to Arden Street and thinking this needs to be a 10-goal win or I'm not going to have fun. So I've given up the score and I'm looking for key performance indicators from collective units like the forwards and the mids and what I want to see out of the defence. So how about you? What are you looking forward to at Witten on the Saturday?
Yeah, hopefully I wouldn't mind seeing Jazz getting 30 touches, 3 goals, so she can, you know, win a AFLW best and fairest because it should be right up there at the moment. Look, if we can get, you know, well in front early, then we can sort of, you know, just put Riddell in the forward pocket and, you know, just try a few different things, maybe put Tess Craven in the middle for a period. Look, hopefully, like you said, find a bit of form for Emma King where she can, take more than one mark in a game. That would be ideal. But, take 5 or 6 really contested marks and just find a bit of form for her. That's the main one because we need her at her best if we want it all the way. That's the main thing. Any possible team changes? What do you think you should go?
I don't know whether he risks putting Tripodi back in just for a bit of fun and see whether or not, because I think competition's healthy. I think it's always a good idea to, keep the small forwards on their toes. I don't know whether Elise O'Loughlin's had her best form in the last couple of weeks. So I don't know. Like you said, it just dawned on me. Yeah, I definitely want Garner to get the coach's votes that game so she can win the AFL Best and Fairest, in which we know that she deserves. Maybe if you put a Tripodi in, I'm just wondering who you take out because you're not going to take a Gavalis out. You're not going to take a Bella Eddy. I wouldn't take an Elise O'Loughlin. I don't know. I just kind of want to try Tripodi before we go to Adelaide for the final, but I don't know who I'd drop for her because everyone else is pretty solid. So I guess, push comes to shove, I'd go unchanged would probably be my final prediction. But if she sneaks in, I'd be pretty happy. What about you? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, I think it'll be unchanged. I couldn't. I mean, generally, it's been unchanged for most of the year. There's only been, I think, 2 or 3 changes across the team because we've had a clean bill of, run of health. We sort of, besides Bresnahan, we haven't had any injuries, to be honest with you. Touch wood, they don't start coming now. Before finals. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, Zoe Sabra, Ian is out for the year with the ACL, but that's it. You know, like we haven't, we've been pretty lucky in that regard. So, hopefully, I mean, that's probably another thing I'm hoping for this week is no injuries and going into Adelaide with a full bill of health. So, that would be ideal. And, you know, if you get Bresnahan back for that game, then, you know, you've got real good competition and no excuses, really. So, yeah, we'll
That's
see.
it. There's, I think that the playing group know that Brad comes back in, so someone's got to come out. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they do play against, you know, the Doggies and how they do perform, knowing that potentially one of them might be losing their spot next week. So what that means, I guess, maybe in a collective unit or, yeah, if that puts pressure on a half backer, I mean, I think Erica O'Shane and Akani are in the clear. I think they're absolutely locked in. But yeah, it'll be fascinating for sure. And again, it's obviously a fantastic problem to have is having depth. So we're quite lucky there. But are you getting down to Witten Oval?
I should be because I don't have any basketball commitments this week. The kids are off, so I should have my Saturday free, which would be good. So yeah, not too far away. So yeah, no, I'll definitely get down. What about yourself?
I am very much hoping I've got a T20 game. I'm playing cricket. I'm putting the
Oh,
pads
nice.
back on for a bit. And I'm very much hoping things will be wrapped up before 1 o'clock, well and truly before 1 o'clock, because I need to get all the way to Witten. So fingers crossed, the captain sends us in to bowl first, and because our bowlers are much better at, than our batters. So hopefully, with the T20, I'll have enough time to get there, but also. Yeah, it could be touch and go. Could be standing in a northern suburb cricket field, waiting patiently to get the next catch or maybe hit the next. I definitely won't be me hitting any runs, so I'd probably get the next catch. So yeah, fingers crossed I can get to Witten. That would be ideal. I think it'd be really, really special. It's a probably most likely the Melbourne game, unless obviously we win, and ideally we win against Adelaide the following week. I haven't seen them play in a while live, so it'd be good to get down and support them. And it's always a good game. I think Witten Oval redevelopment looks pretty schmick now, so hopefully they get a bit of an attendance this game. I see that Sydney up in Henson Park are doing pretty well with their attendances, so it'd be nice for Melburnians to rock up and show their support to their local clubs.
Yeah, definitely. Are you worried about any Daisy Bateman revenge game this week?
Oh, I forgot about Days. I have a sort of, I have no ill feelings towards
No.
players. I love Daria Bannister. I still miss her, actually, to be honest, and Aileen Gilroy and all them. Yeah, Bateman. Is she get? Is, did she play in the win against? Did she play last week? Do you know?
Yeah, she played actually quite
Okay.
well. She
Okay,
got
good on her.
17 touches or something like
Oh,
that.
great.
So,
Yeah, awesome.
yeah,
Yeah.
she's been in the team the last 3 weeks. So after
Okay.
being out of the team for a few weeks here, so.
Yeah, right. Okay. I think her heart still bleeds Arden Street though, because I've seen her a couple of times down at a North
Yeah.
game or so, kind of cutting laps around the oval. So she obviously still has some friendships and affiliations with the North girls, which is nice. So I can't imagine it'll get too heated, but worst case scenario, you send Emma King in. That'll help find some form. Get Emma King straight onto Daisy Bateman, and she can sit on her. Yeah, it'd be nice to watch Daisy. I really like her. I think, you know, as much as it, you know, you miss your players and they leave, I think that we've been able to address our small forwards and our half forwards, and we've got some really great girls. And as much as I know, Bateman's gone back, I'm pretty sure. Is that correct? She's playing more down back these days.
No, she's gone back forward.
Oh,
They
she
had a lot of
has.
injuries, so they
All
put her
right.
against the Crows up forward, and now
Okay.
she's playing as like a high half forward. But
Okay.
yeah, I don't know what's happened to her career because it's teetering on, you know, almost almost over halfway through the season. Pretty good game, and I thought she was one of the, you know, big guns or, you know, big player, you know, one of the players that was going to take us to glory. But she certainly hasn't come on in her career, and at 24, she really is probably at the crossroads. But
Yeah, it is hard because I think when you play with a really good group, you're elevated, you only get better. And you can look at someone like Mia King's career. You know, she started off being a, you know, somewhat average mid high half forward come wing, and now I personally put her as a top tier mid because she surrounds herself with Ashra Dales, with Jenna Brutons, and with Garner. So I think the really, sliding doors moment for Bateman was that when she moved across to Western Bulldogs, she probably didn't have the same exposure to kind of elite talent that she played with at North. So I don't know. I think you always look better in a good team, don't you? And I feel like Bateman definitely had a lot of spark and passion, and she did some really great things. But, in a lower side and a lower club, there's more responsibility. There's more pressure you've got to absorb, and you can't just go around and play your role. You're now kind of picking up as a whole unit. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. I haven't seen her in a while, so that'll be nice. It'll be good to get down and support the gals, because I think it's Pride round as well. So
yeah,
that'll
be
nice. That'll be good. Get around it, you know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. 100%. Couldn't agree more. What's your prediction for the game?
North by 47 points. What's your prediction?
Yeah, I'll go about 5 goals. I think we'll put in a queue in the rack probably quite early and just probably coast through the game, to be honest with you.
I totally get what you're saying, and I recognise the importance of also trying different things and trying strategies, but I'd like to see Randall, Sheila and King get on the end of multiple scoring opportunities. Even if they kick points, at least they're having practice set shots on goal. So I really hope that in terms of our forward 50 entries, you know, we were 38 versus 21 against the top tier side. I'd like to see us dominate in that sort of category and really put some pressure on the scoreboard. And even just for percentage wise, I think we're in the clear. I think we're locked in as third. Yeah. So, you know, that's not to worry. But I think scoring highly, I think would do wonders for our confidence in terms of our forwards and how they feel going into the final.
No, exactly right. So, yeah, I mean, like we're talking about trying to find forwards for Emma King. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice for her to pluck a few marks and have a few set shots, kick a couple of goals would be ideal. But, yeah, we'll wait and see. Anyways, Claire, that's all I have for you, unless you wanted to add anything else.
No, just thanks for your time. Hopefully, I see you down at Wooden Oval. Hopefully, we can skittle in the first 15 overs and a bit of a collapse like England. You know, two ducks in a row. Did you see Root and did you watch? I know this is a side note. Did you watch the Stokes wicket?
Did you get anything? I did hear about it, but I haven't seen it.
Oh my god! I just thought this man. I quite like Ben Stokes, but the way it was hyped up, this man that was coming to save cricket and, you know, he's the king of every format. He could do it all. He could do T20. He could do Test. He could do ODIs. And if you watch, admittedly, there was a lot of pressure on him. And, you know, there was a couple of good balls coming his way. But for him to play that shot at that point in the game was just horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Anyway, we've turned into a cricket podcast, which I don't hate. I'll get back to you with my T20 results this time next week. And I'll see you ideally at Witten Oval for the North and Western Bulldogs game.
No, that sounds good, Claire. No, I look forward to hearing about how you pulled up as well. So, yeah, hopefully all goes well for your 2020 game.
Yeah, and two wins on a Saturday is the ideal situation for us.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Maybe even next Saturday to make it a hat-trick, that'll be good. So,
oh, that would be great. Yeah, I'd love that.
Anyways, Claire, thanks very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week. And, yeah, go the Roos.
As always, flag Roos. See you later, Dean. Thank you.
So thank you very much to Claire Cozzi for coming on the show once again. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So if you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform use as well, that would be awesome. So I might be back either tomorrow or later in the week. I'm going to do something a bit different. I'm going to get my regular guests that I have on. I'm going to interview them and find out. It's like a get to know your get to know the guests' episode, I should say, like how they became a North Melbourne supporter, who are some of their favourite players. I did it with Claire Cozzi last year, and I quite enjoyed it. So I enjoy getting to know all the supporters. So I'm going to have a few of the regular guests, like Jesse, Frank. I'll try and get Marnie, Siobhan, and whoever else, because it is quite quiet in the men's front at the moment. If any news comes up, obviously, I'll talk about it, but the draft is still a fair way away, so I've got a bit of time to kill. I still want to do two episodes a week at the moment, so yeah, I thought I'd give that a try, and hopefully you lovely listeners can enjoy that. So I'll see how I go with that. Anyways, that's it for tonight. So tonight I will leave a shout out to Friendstar and actor Matthew Perry, who unfortunately passed away yesterday. An icon of comedy, I guess, and obviously had a very tough life personally. So yeah, I really enjoyed his character Chandler Bing, and really enjoyed the TV show Friends. So I'll leave a shout out to Matthew Perry. Anyways, that's it. Bye for now, and go Roos.